Today officially marks 100 days of promises made and promises kept by President Trump. This has truly been the most historic start to a presidency in American history. After building the greatest economy in the world in his first term as president, President Trump is in the process of doing that all over again. The American people trust in President Trump. Since his first day in office, President Trump has focused on defeating the Biden inflation crisis, bringing down the cost of living, and making the United States the best place in the world to do business, invest, create jobs, and innovate. And President Trump's efforts are working.
And you know what? One thing that's not on the list is that he has given us Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, the beautiful, articulate wunderkind. She's not that old. She's in her 20s. And she conducts these press conferences almost every single day. So that's yet another thing on the list of the things that President Trump has accomplished. Bruce and I are going to talk about this today and also get some of your comments about the first 100 days and some email that are about some other things. But it's things that you think and feel. So this is our day to do that. But before we get into that, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death combined. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why we work with Preborn to try to stop this in, I think, the most beautiful way possible, and that is by showing women the image of their baby in their womb and letting them decide for themselves that that life is more precious than their freedom or whatever it is that they think they're choosing over the life of the baby. They do it so beautifully, and that's why we ask you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. And one last thing, Preborn, by the way, has a 5-star charity rating. So you can give to them with confidence. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. Our home base is afr.net. That's American Family Radio.net, but all other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever you like, Amazon, whatever you listen through, we are there. You can find us on social media, all the platforms. You can follow me on X and my Twitter handle. Isn't that lovely? I remember when they used to start saying that, I thought it was so funny. I could hardly bring myself to saying it. And now I'm saying it. It's at Sandy Rios Tweet. That's at Sandy Rios Tweet. All right, today Bruce is going to join me, and we're going to be talking about your email, but also discussing Trump's first 100 days in office on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
White House has put up about 100 posters of what they say are unauthorized immigrants who have been arrested for violent crimes. You can see them there. They put them up on the driveway of the White House. If you look here, that's the West Wing just at the forefront, the executive mansion itself to the left. But what's particularly noteworthy about this location is it is right directly behind the positions where TV correspondents do their hits from the White House lawn. So therefore, no matter what network you're on, that includes MSNBC, if you're doing a hit from the White House right now, those pictures will be behind you. The White House doing a briefing in about a half hour about what they're doing here.
And, of course, the White House is probably making this up. These names and these supposed arrests of supposed illegal immigrant criminals couldn't possibly be true. Oh, that's an MSNBC clip, and that's one of the things that the Trump administration did yesterday as we're speaking to you. This is Tuesday, April 29th. And so it's really kind of funny. You know, CNN actually had their own story about that, and they actually blurred out the pictures because they claimed that they couldn't trust the White House because that might not be true. So they blurred out all the pictures in their coverage of that. Well, today Bruce and I are going to be talking about, by the way, honey, thank you for joining me. My husband Bruce is a former FBI agent, former state prosecutor in the state of Illinois, Cook County. And a lot of other things. My husband is the most important thing right now, and my partner on the podcast. Thank you for joining me, honey.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Okay. So when we think about the first 100 days, just a couple of things occur to me. Promises made, promises kept. President Trump hit the floor running. Remember that first few days, Bruce, when he was sitting in the Oval Office and he's signing all of these executive orders? One of my high points was when he said, there is male and female, two genders only. Done a job. That was a highlight for me. How about for you?
Well, I think exactly what you say. Trump ran on very articulated issues. The border, inflation, immigration, prices. And in each one of these things, we have seen improvement. And you know, the left loves to point out what hasn't been done. You know, he hasn't stopped the war in Ukraine. Well, that is not what we should be concerned with right now. What we should be concerned with is in 100 days, Donald Trump, not only has he stopped inflation, we have deflation now. He inherited a 9% inflation rate. It's now at 2.4%.
Really?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that. That's amazing.
Gas prices down an average of 70 cents in just 100 days. A lot of people are going to make a big deal out of the tariffs and that they are killing the stock market. But if you really do look at the stock market, of the people who invest in it, 97% of people like you and me who are private investors, we have not made a trade. We have not pulled out of the stock market. We have not gotten scared off by this. It's the speculators and the people that are always looking for an opportunity to try to leverage something. They're the ones that are driving this market volatility. And so, you know, these scare tactics by the left, you take the border. Border crossings are down 99-point-something%. I think they apprehended 300 people on the border the other day. Think about that. There were thousands lining up at Eagle Pass and various places when Joe Biden was the president.
And Bruce, speaking of the immigration whole thing about illegal immigration, the fact that the border is shut down is just jaw-dropping. How many people remember the thousands of people marching across that border every day, just openly? And that the Border Patrol ended up having to, like, take care of them rather than sending them back.
The Border Patrol had become a social services.
Right.
You know, diapering babies, feeding kids. Very, very laudable things, but not what the Border Patrol is supposed to be doing.
Well, plus we talk about crime. I mean, you think about the crime from illegal immigrants. And, of course, they're focused on that right now by sending so many of them to this prison in South America. And our Central America, El Salvador, and the people are so upset about that. Well, some people are. I think a lot of people are happy. And the crime has just been the horrible crime. I don't think anybody ever reported what the Attorney General said, that on the phone of one of those criminals apprehended was a photo. Oh, this is the judge that let this
the judge
and his wife. Well, no, this is the one actually down in New Mexico, where the husband, the judge, had his phone, the illegal immigrant's phone, and on that phone were photos of two beheaded persons. That's what so this is the kind of crime we're talking about that he's trying to stop.
Yeah, this whole thing that MSNBC was complaining about having these photographs of these
as they refer to them. This is a new term on me. Unauthorized immigrants. I've never heard that term. That must be a new one, new way to soften this. But if you look at those posters, those are people who have been apprehended and convicted. It's not presumed. They're people that have warrants out for them that have escaped or that have been convicted of these crimes or have been charged with these crimes. This is not some, you know, we think this person did it, and so we're going to put his photograph up. And if you look at the crimes that these people are charged with, these are not misdemeanors. These are not parking tickets. These are murder, rape, robbery, and abuse of children. The things that the liberals always love to say they're against, taking care of the children. We got to take
protecting care. Protecting women, women's rights.
What about the children? What about the women's rights? These guys on these posters are some of the most egregious offenders of those kind of crimes. And MSNBC thinks it's improper to show their photographs.
Yeah. Well, no, that was CNN. CNN thought it was improper to show their photographs. Bruce, also, there's an
What's
irony.
What's the difference?
There's an irony. They just missed it. They'll follow up today with the same concept. There's an interesting follow-up on a story. And I want to say Christy Noem was robbed in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. And when that happened, I said on this microphone, they were reporting it was a white man wearing a mask. That's what they reported, and that's what I told you. Well, there's news. There's an update, Bruce, and you have that, right?
Yeah, you know, this is really an ironic story in a way, because here is Christy Noem, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, who's very much charged with apprehending these people that are in the country illegally. She is at Easter lunch with her family in a nice D.C. restaurant. Her grandchildren are with her. She has her purse underneath the table, and a guy takes his leg and sticks it under the table and pulls her purse out and then drops a coat over it so he can keep it hidden, and he runs out of the restaurant. And Christy said, well, I thought it was my grandchildren, you know, bumping me down there, and then when they noticed it was the purse, the guy was gone. And as you said, it was reported as a white male.
A white male in a mask.
Well, things have changed a bit.
Yeah.
Actually, there were two people involved in this robbery. And one is named Mario Bustamante Leyva. He's originally from Chile. And guess what? This is not the first time Mr. Leyva has stolen purses and property from people in restaurants. He's also been convicted in London, England, or was charged there for doing basically the same thing, $30,000 worth of phones, laptops, wallets, over several months in 2014. And there is another person who was involved in this, and his name is Christian Rodrigo Montesino Cinzana. He is also from Chile. And guess what?
Guess what?
He is in this country illegally.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? That can't be. You mean it's not a white American in a mask? It's an illegal immigrant? I'm shocked.
Mr. Cinzana was released back into the United States in early January of 2021, despite having a notice of expedited removal. And there was a lawsuit which forced the federal government to release certain migrants with comorbidities during the pandemic COVID-19 pandemic, yeah. He was released.
Yeah, so,
think about that.
Yeah, so this, here we go. This is the problem. Now, I think we said enough about immigration. You mentioned the financial debt. We're talking about Trump's first 100 days. I want to play a clip. This is Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, just pointing another success on the financial in the financial realm of President Trump's accomplishments, and this is clip two.
There was a story 10 days ago that said this is the worst April for the stock market since the Great Depression. 10 days later, the NASDAQ is now up on the month of April, and I haven't seen a story that says, oh, stock market has biggest bounce back ever.
And it's in the month of April, which they just said is the lowest April ever, or something like that. You cannot trust our press. I think that's the sad part. You still can't trust them. They're doing everything they can to lie. And about things that have to do with national security, like illegal immigrant crime. Whose side are they on? I think we know the answer to that. We just don't know why. So, Bruce, other things that stand out to you that the president has accomplished?
Well, I think in terms of the economy, we you know, we spoke about there's deflation right now. There's also the mortgage rates for homes are coming down.
Wow.
These high mortgage rates have been killing this economy because so much of the economy is based on home sales, home building, ownership of homes. And now we have that coming down. It needs to come down more, but it's getting back to where it was under President Trump in his first term.
Well, national security is another one that strikes me. One thing I'm thrilled about is taking back the Panama Canal. Now, that's not been accomplished yet, but it's in process. We've certainly heard a lot about it. And so the Chinese have assumed dominance down there, and that's very dangerous for us. So he's taking care of business down there.
Yeah, the Panama Canal has been central to our national security for over 100 years. We cannot have that controlled by China because we have to be able to take our military fleet and get it from one side of our country to the other to defend the Atlantic, to defend the Pacific, depending on where we need it. And we've seen what happens when China controls things. Just go back to the pandemic and the medicine and the masks and things. Those were all controlled by China. Boy, if China had decided to really go to war with us and cut those things off, we would have been in big trouble. And the same thing could happen in the Panama Canal if we leave it. I also think it's important that we look at President Trump's interest in Greenland. You should look at a map because most people don't even know where Greenland is. Greenland is closer to the United States than it is, certainly to North America, than it is to Europe. It's right off, really, the coast of Canada. And through there, China has passage and Russia has passage, and they're trying to exploit those things. And that could cause a security concern between us and Europe. So President Trump's interest in that is certainly warranted. And I don't think he has any interest in trying to take over Greenland. What he's trying to do is leverage out a deal with them where we can have bases and we can station our ships and our technology so that we can keep an eye on China and on Russia.
All right, so we'll come back to, there's some other things that we are real excited about with the 100 days, but I want to pause for a second to say that I heard from by the way, you can write us at sandy@afr.net. I love hearing from you. And so we're springboarding on some of those email that you're sending. Josh has been writing me for a number of years. In fact, he says, it's been 5 months since I wrote. Hopefully I can shake the label of someone who writes to me all the time. Okay, so you don't have that label, Josh. I always enjoy hearing from you in spite of what you say in your email. And so he asked me this question. He asked me if I am embarrassed yet by my support of President Trump. And from Josh's perspective, he has erased trans people, empowered billionaires. He's withdrawn from the World Health Organization and the Paris Accords. He's threatened public, which threatens public health and education, Josh thinks. He's advocating for ethnic cleansing by treating Gaza as beachfront property, encouraging J.D. Vance to advocate for far-right authoritarianism at the expense of European democracy, seeking to end birthright citizenship. But I didn't want to overwhelm you with everything Trump is doing to harm our nation, not all at once. So I hope you'll see the light soon. Or are you so blinded by it that you can't see that you're supporting a tyrant? Josh, let me just weigh in on some of these things. I do appreciate your challenges. I sometimes wonder if you really mean what you're writing, but I know by now that you actually do. So let me see. He's erased trans people. Somehow, I don't think so. He is reining them in because they don't have their confusion about their sexuality does not give them a higher status in this country. And they don't, you know, for instance, in the military, just because they struggle with transgenderism, and it doesn't give them the right to serve in the military. You can't serve in the military if you don't have good eyesight. If you have flat feet, there are things that restrict you from participating in combat. So he is not erasing trans people, although I think it would be great. I personally think if we could really help them out of their confusion and make them whole, I think that'd be a great blessing. Empowering billionaires, okay, I'm not even going to do that one. Withdrawing from the World Health Organization, yes, thank goodness for that. Bruce, don't we have an email from a doctor,
yes,
who's commenting on Tedros, who's the head of the World Health Organization?
Dr. Susan wrote us, and She said that, for your information, Sandy, the World Health Organization, Tedros, is not an actual medical doctor, but a genocidal dictator. He should not be given that title. I have been praying against this deceit and manipulation for the past few years. When it comes to light, when it came to light that the WHO's agenda at was world domination. Yeah. And Dr. Tedros is not a medical doctor.
No, and yet they were getting ready to give him, and this was going to happen in May. I remember it very well. They were going to give him the power to declare an emergency in countries around the world, including ours, and that could be, you know, even firearms are out of control, death by gun violence, just things like that, an ability to declare another pandemic and to cause us to shut down. They were giving the World Health Organization through that treaty, not a treaty actually, through an agreement we were making because we were member country to that agreement. It was going to take place in May, and President Trump cut it off at the knees. And I am so grateful, and Josh, maybe you surely must not understand that. Also, he got us out of the Paris Accords, which is that, climate change foolishness that's costing millions of dollars, and the reason why Al Gore rides around spending millions of dollars, thousands, let's say that, on his airplane freely. All these John Kerry, too. These climate champions are spending money left and right on their fuel for their planes because they're different. They're separate. I think John Kerry actually made a statement that they were a separate category, so they had to do that. But they don't want you to do that. If you ever fly anywhere, Josh, it would be the end of that if you signed on to this accord. But
Sandy, to go back to what we started with, too, where you're talking about what President Trump has done, I want to go back to the border because, really, I think the border was the seminal issue for the election. You know, people have had it with this border being open. And now that it has been lit, it has literally been shut down, and there's more coming in the terms of resources that are going to be taken down there. But this is what you'll hear the left say. Well, Trump said that he would build a wall and that Mexico would pay for it. All right. Since Trump took over 100 days ago, 80 miles of border has been fenced in by this administration. They've cut the flow, as we said, down 99%. Mexico has detailed 10,000 troops to that border. So think about the savings that we're experiencing because we're not taking all these people in every day. What do you think it costs to process, 1,000 people a day, to house them, to feed them, put them into detention centers so that we can deal with them or to deport them? Think of the money spent on that. That money is now being saved. This money to put these forces on the border that are Mexican troops, that's not being paid for by us. So, another savings. You think of DOGE. I cannot understand how there is so much pushback to DOGE, other than obviously the people that are losing their jobs. I understand they are upset. And, this has at times probably been not as surgical as it could be, but when you try to fight the federal bureaucracy, you are fighting a monster, and there are going to be some mistakes. And Elon Musk, who's heading DOGE, he has acknowledged that. He said, "We have made some mistakes. We are going to rectify them." But if you take, I'll bet 95 or more percent of what they've done, these are people who were working at home, quote unquote, working, who weren't doing anything. There's a couple that live near us, both federal employees, work for NASA, both haven't been at work.
And we live in Florida, by the way.
3 or 4 years, and they're boo-hooing that, we have to go back to work. Well, how in the world, it's like FBI agents that were working from home. How in the world are you an FBI agent from home?
Yeah, let me just say, Bruce, to quantify a little bit, DOGE is saying they have cut $160 billion so far through asset sales, contracts, terminations, and other efforts. So that's kind of the net. I don't know how much that includes all the layoffs and the salary savings. I'm not sure.
And a lot of DOGE's savings aren't from cutting people. It's from cutting facilities that are not being used.
Right.
So many of these federal buildings that were being leased had no one working in them.
Right.
Because everyone's working from home. But yet, the government was paying. Can you imagine what the rental rate, the lease rate is in the middle of Washington, D.C.? It's astronomical.
Well, I know, because I had a big office there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an office of 36 employees, and we paid thousands. That we were just a block and a half from the White House. So, yeah, it's terrible. And so we are in agreement. I want to go back to Josh and just finish what he was saying here, because he asked me if I was blinded by the light and when I was going to apologize that I was supporting a tyrant. I don't apologize, Josh. I don't think he's a tyrant. And I'm sorry that you don't understand that this is for you, too. It's not just something to help Republicans. It's to help you and your family and your future. And maybe someday you'll see that if President Trump can, you know, prevail over all these challenges and can, you know, live until the end of his time in office. And that's what I guess I'm concerned about. So, no, I'm proud. I am supporting him, and I'm proud of what he's done. There's another thing here you say that I'd like to you talked about he's threatening public health and education. You know, under Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we're still going to see what all is going to be accomplished there, but already he's asking for the COVID vaccine to be removed, or he's not asking for it. He would determine that himself, for the COVID vaccine to be removed from the protocols. I don't exactly know the words, but I'm thrilled about that. With all the injuries, and Josh, you should be too. You should understand that that's been very dangerous. And that brings me to a listener who wrote, his name is Fred, and he said, Sandy, I am the father of five children, all boys, and it was between my second and third son that they changed the binding agent in the vaccines, and my third son at the time was six, was autistic. We noticed it shortly after he came home, and the doctor, because he had high fever and the different, this is a little bit hard to read, but I guess he had high fever, and that's one of the reactions to the vaccines. We took him to the doctor. We had him on Tylenol. We did everything they told us because we didn't know any better, and come to find out the vaccines had not been properly tested. RFK Jr. just released this report that none of the pediatric children vaccines have been properly tested. That probably excludes measles and the old ones, rubella and mumps and those. But the modern day vaccines have not been properly tested. That should concern all of us. The COVID vaccine, that was certainly true. They were declaring all of these things about how safe it was and how much COVID was so much dangerous for children. So dangerous for children, not more dangerous, but and that was just not true. And now we know it did tremendous harm. And so you say that he's. I want to finish this thing from Fred because he deserves me to finish this. He said, "I know many vaccines are necessary. I am pro-vaccine, but when they don't bother to find out what they're putting in the vaccines, that bothers me greatly." And this is Fred in Texas. Fred, thanks for emailing. And Josh, thank you for emailing too. We have another one from Josh in a few minutes. But this is something that President Trump is accomplishing. We're in process for the red dye, which I don't fully understand all of that stuff. But don't you know there's something wrong that we have to address? The health, the autism, the ADD, the massive amounts of depression and drugs. Bruce and I were watching television last night at every commercial. It's drugs for depression, drugs for weight loss, drugs. It's just drugs, drugs, drugs. And the side effects is like watching a nightmare flashing on the screen about all the things these things do to you. So thank God somebody is minding the store who cares more about the health of the American people than about the money in their pocket from drug companies. So I'm all in favor. Okay, babe, is there some other thing? The national security thing, this whole international thing, is the thing that just really, Panama Canal, yes, but President Trump is, we are respected in the world, even if they're angry with us, like NATO and all of those European countries.
Well, I found it ironic that for all the problems that the Pope who just passed away tried to lump onto Donald Trump, what a terrible person he is, if you saw at the Vatican the other day for the funeral service for the Pope, Donald Trump was seated in the front row. Joe Biden was seated about seven rows behind him. And I'm not trying to get into who's more important, but think about that. If Donald Trump was so disrespected in the world, I don't think he would have, if he and Melania would have had a front row seat to that. I also look at all the people searching out Trump to talk with him. You know, Donald Trump's tariffs, they're very controversial with some people. But I think that's because we've become a nation of we do not wait. We have no patience for anything. And in order to see what's going to happen with these tariffs, we have to give them a chance to be implemented and see what happens. Right now, it's mainly in the discussion stage. But as of this morning, President Trump anticipates tariff deals with India, South Korea, Japan, Vietnam. The Canadian election was last night. Supposedly, Mark Carney, the new Prime Minister of Canada, is going to meet with President Trump very soon. We're going to have to let this play out a little bit. But I would put my money on Donald Trump, because if you look at the theory behind what's been going on with tariffs, we have been the one who have been tariffed by people. And all he's trying to do is level out the playing field. And if a result of that leveling it out is that it's more advantageous for businesses to return to the United States that have gone overseas, or for overseas business to come here and make their products, that is going to take a while.
Yeah.
But in the end, I'll put my money on Donald Trump that he knows what he's doing.
Me too. That's kind of where we feel. It's like, who really knows? I don't know an economist, and I know a lot of great economists. I've interviewed them through the years, from Steve Forbes to, you know, just name someone. I drop names if I could. But anyway, I don't know anyone that I've talked to who really knows what is going to be the other end of this. This is a total shakeup of the world economy. And it's a necessary shakeup. We cannot go back to where we were, where the dollar is losing value in the world. And really, economically, Europe is in trouble. China's in trouble. Russia's in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. And so something has to happen differently economically.
Yeah. You think of what's happened to the United States. You know, we're from the Midwest. They love to call it the Rust Belt. And there's a reason they call it the Rust Belt, because the government has let so many of our jobs leave the country and go to other places, steel manufacturing, minerals from coal mining, things like that. That has all been hollowed out of the United States. And guess who's controlling a lot of these things because they've left here? China controls them.
Yep.
China pays slave wages to its people. They are a strange economy. They are leveraged out just the way we are. China could go down very easily if their manufacturing would dry up. We cannot be reliant on China. Neither can the world. We've seen that. Take in Europe, where they were buying fuel from the Russians. The Russians threatened to cut off the fuel. Europe is in trouble. You cannot be dependent upon communist or dictatorial type countries. And we have to have this stuff come back to the United States so we can have control over medicines, weapons production, minerals for our computers, things like that. We need to be in control of those things.
Okay, let's depart from the first 100 days for a second, Bruce, because I want to this email does apply to this. We got a couple of emails from Herb. Herb has been writing me for years. And actually, he started out pretty friendly, kind of like a skeptic, but never friendly. Maybe not that, but a skeptic, but respectful. But we've gotten to a whole new place. And so I want to share with you what he wrote to me. Now, he's talking about, I think, my comments about these lawless judges in the lower courts who are trying to stop President Trump with their decisions, their stays on these various executive orders that they don't have a right to issue, but the Supreme Court's letting them get away with it, and so is the Congress. All right, so this is Herb's response. He said, "You've turned into a joke. What about Matthew Kaczmarek? You love his rulings? It's all right if the rulings are in your favor, but impeach the bad word, impeach the blanks if they aren't in your favor. Give me a break." And I'll come back to his final statement in a second. But let me just say, yeah, I had to look up Matthew Kaczmarek because I didn't know him by name, but he's the guy. He used to be the deputy counsel for First Liberty Institute. And among other things that he's done, he led the charge to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy. He ruled against confidential contraception, said it violated state law. In other words, he was reigning in some of these things that I agree with, like the French abortion pill. He challenged Obamacare's requirement in the insurance to cover the morning after pill. He has challenged gender identity. He's challenged the morning after pill and the French abortion pill. So I guess I do like him, Herb. Now that I looked him up, I think I really do like him. So, yes, I would certainly support him because his decisions are the things I would want. And that is because they were constitutional and within the law. These decisions of these lower court judges right now are lawless. They don't follow the Constitution or the order of things. So, yeah, I'm against them. So Herb ends this with this nice little thing. He says, "Give me a break. Time for you to retire and fade into the sunset." Well, you might be right, Herb, but that's going to come pretty soon, but not quite yet. And I'm happy to fade into the sunset. I know where I'm going, and I know who I'm going to be with. But I guess I want to make it personal, Herb. You have really said some really cruel things to me through the years. And I just wonder, for you, I wonder what makes you tick. I wonder why you listen. And then I also wonder, are you ready to fade off into the sunset? Do you know what's going to happen when you breathe your last breath? Because honestly, Herb, I'm ready to do that. I actually look forward to it. You could ask my husband. It's kind of sometimes, I think, for some people morbid, but I really look forward to it. And I don't mind retirement. I just don't. So I'll probably do that soon, but not yet. But thanks for the encouragement. Anyway, I hope that you will consider what I'm talking about. And you're just so filled with bitterness and anger, and I don't know why. And I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you're writing. He has another one too, right?
Yes. Herb switches to global warming, and he says, "For years now, you've been claiming global warming is a lie and a hoax. Now you have a story on the Arctic and are now claiming the ice is going away due to global warming. Do you really think your listeners are all stupid?" Well,
Well, I didn't say that. First of all, I have never said that. I never said that the ice is going away in the Arctic due to global warming. I never said that, and I don't think my listeners are stupid. But I don't look. There is obviously, just to be clear, there is global warming. There's global cooling, and it moves in cycles over the generations since we've been taking those measurements. We've had a lot of warmer times and a lot of cooler times, and obviously there is warming right now. But it's not the issue for me is that, Herb, I don't believe that we human beings have the power or the capability of causing this to happen, because I believe there's an omnipotent, omnipresent God who controls that kind of stuff. I don't think we control the weather. I don't think we control the heat or cooling in the planet. So just to be clear, I don't feel that way. So now, here's one. I want to play this clip because this will lead into another discussion. This is clip 4.
This is Congressman Shri Thanedar. Donald Trump has already done real damage to our democracy. But defying a unanimous 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, that has to be the final straw. It's time we impeach Donald J. Trump. The court said the wrongfully deported Kilmer Garcia must be allowed to return and receive due process. Trump ignored it. He ignored the Constitution. He ignored the very checks and balances that keep our democracy intact. This isn't an isolated incident. It's part of a dangerous, deliberate pattern. That's why today I introduced a resolution to impeach Donald J. Trump, outlining 7 articles of impeachment.
All right, so yes, that is a congressman. Yes, it is. It's a congressman from Michigan, Sri Thaneda. And he is filing articles of impeachment against our president. What's wrong with this picture? Bruce, do you have a feeling about that? Is there anything that bothers you about that?
Well, actually, I have a email from someone that it bothers very much.
Okay.
From Savannah. And she writes, this congressman, who can barely speak English, is filing 7 articles of impeachment against our president. We need to ban foreign-born people from serving in Congress and in our judicial system. This has only been a net negative for American society.
Well, I think the thing, I agree with her, at least on some of that. I know that you're right to be cautious about that. We'd have to think through all of that, because certainly there are a lot of people that are foreign-born who make great Americans. So we don't want to, but to have the audacity, first of all, I don't think someone who obviously is that impaired with his English and hasn't obviously been here long enough to even understand the system can be lecturing us or bring impeachment charges against our president. You know, I don't know of any in the history of this country, when immigrants came here, they always loved our system, loved our country. That's why they came. And so I would just say to Sri Thaneda, if you don't like it, why did you come? Just go back to where you're from and be happy where you are. And so I am offended by that, just like I was offended just a few weeks ago, and I weighed in on this. This was a Daily Show host. All right, so this is what he had to say about RFK Jr., clip 5.
Let's start with Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., seen here greeting a supporter. It's always good to meet a fan, but RFK is known for his controversial health ideas like drinking raw milk and adding roadkill to the food pyramid. But the conspiracy theory that he's most known for is that vaccines cause autism. He's basically a health expert the same way Katy Perry is a rocket scientist.
You never know how much love is inside of you, how loved you are until the day you launch.
I have a teenage dream that she shut the f*** up. So, unsurprisingly, RFK Jr. brought his anti-vax policies to the administration. And yesterday, he gave a speech about autism, and people are pissed.
Comments from Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that are raising eyebrows. During his first news conference as the nation's top health official, he addressed rising autism rates while calling the disease preventable.
RFK Jr.'s bleak description of people living with autism causing outrage.
Autism destroys families. These are kids who will never pay taxes.
Wait, That's what you're going to lead with? Like, that's the big tragedy for you? These poor kids will never know the joy of attaching a Schedule K to a 1040A.
All right, I thought you should hear that again before I read these comments about Josh. Yes, I took, it made me furious. I'm still furious. And my point was, this guy is obviously he's not American born. He has a very strong Chinese accent, and that made me really angry. Who is he to go on the Daily Show and criticize our government? That offends me. Yes, it does offend me, especially since China is our main enemy right now. But Josh wrote to correct me. He said, I treated Ronnie Chang, is his name, with racist. Your repeated racist treatment of Ronnie Chang, a naturalized American citizen and co-host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. He's, I'm not sure you ever called him by his name. Rather, you referred to him repeatedly as the Chinaman and a Chinese national. One inconvenient problem is that Ronnie Chang is not from China. He was born in Malaysia. He spent 5 years in Manchester, New Hampshire, went to college in Australia, and has lived in New York since 2015. You notice China doesn't appear anywhere in that sentence. Okay, as though that's important, I'll respond, Josh, because actually I looked this up because I thought, well, let's think about that. His real name is Xinji Sheng. He's born in Malaysia, but he's ethnically Chinese. You do understand that, right? That in Asia especially, there are ethnic Chinese, there's ethnic Korean. They're not the same, and they live in different countries, and they assimilate. The same way in Hawaii, there are a lot of ethnic Chinese who grew up in Hawaii. But obviously, he speaks Chinese. That is his language, and you can look that up. I checked on that, too. So whatever you say, he is Chinese ethnically. I'm sorry that I didn't realize he was born in Malaysia. But then he goes on to say, you mocked his accent. Yes, I did. I mocked it because I mocked him because he was mocking our newly appointed head of HHS. And I, who is he to do that? And then I also mentioned, Josh goes on to say, that makes me think that makes me think of the Wuhan lab. And so then he mocks that. Well, Josh mocks me for that. It's okay for Josh to mock me, but I cannot mock Jing Zixing, who's hosting the Daily Show, for making fun of RFK Jr. So here's the thing. He goes on to say that I'm being racist. I'm racist. So yes, in your definition, there are two things going on, Josh, from my perspective. In your definition of for racist, yes, because I think you think like most younger people. If you say anything about someone from an ethnic background that, or make fun or make a joke, even if it's good fun, then that's racist. You know, you wouldn't know this, but I can remember when that changed in our country. I've never embraced making fun of people because they are some ethnicity or mocking them for that. There are some great jokes about that are ethnic, though, that we used to use and do. And I remember there's nothing wrong with laughing at people's differences if we laugh at ourselves and laugh at them. Remember Eddie Murphy used to play a white guy? He was hilarious. I guess that would be racist to you, but it was just hilarious because he was mocking the traits of a white man as a black man. That's funny. That's good humor. So when my son actually was back in school years ago, I remember my son is half Puerto Rican, and he had a friend who was Italian, and they called themselves Spick and Dago. That was their joke between them. They called each other. And it was hilarious, but he got in trouble. He got in trouble at school for this, and I said to him, you know what, this is ridiculous, this is funny, and so you have my full permission to continue whatever you're doing. Because I think that your definition of racism is not mine, and I'll make my case. You probably know, I would think, Josh, you've listened to me so long that I've been to China many times, to the Middle East many, many times, and I've made dear friends everywhere I've gone. So, like, I don't, like, mock the Chinese or as a people. I did mock Jing Jingxing, who is hosting The Daily Show. I did mock him. But that's not because he's Chinese. It's because he is a Chinaman who does not respect this country and does not respect what's happening. I realize that in your generation, that's kind of okay, but it's not okay to me. I find it very offensive. So, yes, I mocked him. And you could argue, you could push back to me, and I think this would be legitimate, that as a believer in Christ, I should be careful about how I mock people. I agree with that. And so for that, I would apologize. But I don't apologize for taking him to task for what he did on The Daily Show. So that's my response, Josh. I appreciate you sending me that email. I do. And speaking of that, in the first 100 days of President Trump's time in office, he's declared English as the only language, the official national language. Of course, it has been. It is in our law that it's the official language, but people don't listen to that. And so we're getting conclaves of, you know, ghettos of different kinds of people with different languages who do not assimilate into the United States. And this just has to happen or you will not have a unified culture. I think we have that already, actually, but he's declared that. So that's another great thing he's done. He did away with the Department of Education, which I am just, yes, I'm so happy about that. And also the things he's done with the colleges and universities, Harvard and Columbia, to restrict DEI and take away funding.
Well, and I think he's done a lot to try to protect people from anti-Semitism in this country.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I mean, he has really gone after these universities that have allowed, think about this, Columbia University in the middle of New York City which is very heavily populated by Jewish people. And these anti-Jewish people have been allowed to just, you know, roam through the campus, yelling at Jewish students, at some points attacking them, trapping people in various buildings, not allowing them to get out, terrorizing them, really. And President Trump says, no, we're not going to have this. And he's cutting off the federal funds to these universities. Now, most of them have huge endowments. They will go on despite whether we cut off their money or not. But it sends a statement that you better not. You know, next thing I think it will be to start arresting people if they are in these positions of trust and they are allowing this to go on. Then they're violating people's civil rights.
All right, honey, thank you. And we're not quite done. We have just a couple more things for you, and we'll do that right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As you're listening to this podcast, and again, Sandy Rios, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to saving babies with preborn in a bigger way. It's a tax-deductible donation, and one of $5,000, for instance, would sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And that usually saves the average of 200 babies. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, when you think about how that money would be spent. And they do have an incredible track record of saving babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. And, of course, if that's too much money for you, $28 provides one ultrasound. So whatever you can afford, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
The Trump administration is approaching its first 100-day mark with a full-court press on the issue of illegal immigration, and they really don't want you to miss it. So they subtly and tastefully deck the White House North Lawn with dozens of yard signs featuring photos of people that the Trump administration claims are in the country illegally, each poster saying arrested and listing the alleged offensive with which they have been charged. CNN's working to confirm the identities and if there are actual allegations against these people. Until then, we are blurring their identities.
We have to protect those illegal immigrant criminals. We have to protect them. I wanted you to hear that from CNN. That was Jake Tapper. We're just about out of time. But, Bruce, you had some observations. That's ending the first 100 days. And so you had some observations about what's next.
Yes. As important as this first 100 days has been, I think really what's even possibly more important is what is going to happen in the next 100 days. Because now we have the policies laid out. Now we have the framework for instituting them. However, now that the resistance has come, one of the biggest obstacles is going to be the judiciary. These district courts, say someone out in Hawaii, a district court judge that sets policy that affects the entire United States. We cannot allow that. The Supreme Court needs to get busy here.
Yes.
And start deciding these cases. And whether or not these isolated judges have the power to stop the executive branch, which, you know, the left loves to talk about separation of powers and rule of law. Well, if you read the Constitution, Donald Trump is the executive of the United States, and he sets foreign policy, he sets immigration, he sets a lot of things that are being ruled on by these district court judges, and basically they're trying to stop these judges are trying to set both domestic policy and some foreign policy of the United States. If you read the Constitution, the courts have nothing to do with that. That is a function of the executive branch, and that's where the big fight is going to be. And we the Trump people are going to have to engage on many fronts with these judiciary people.
Yeah, that's great, honey. But for now, President Trump, the other thing he's been doing is they're doing a whole project. Trust me, I know this, to turn back persecution of Christians in the workplace, in schools, in hiring. And there's an all-out effort to do this. It's an agency-wide effort. And so that's pretty exciting. We want this to happen for all people, though. We want all people to have more freedom and to succeed, even the ones that disagree with us, like you, Josh, and you, Herb. I want you guys to enjoy this. I want you to be free in your country and to prosper and to do well. And most of all, I'll just say I'm concerned about you spiritually. That's my main goal. If I said anything, Josh, that offended you, please forgive me. I'm glad you're listening. All right, so we'll be talking about Canada and its election, Canada and their relationship to us in the next podcast, and we'll get to that in a second. But right now, I want to congratulate President Trump and his administration on an incredible first 100 days. Before we go, I want to thank Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy, that's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.